The single individual who has the most impact on our lives is the one who carried us in her womb for 9 months, gave birth to us, suckled us, and cared for us all the days of our childhood, and loved us and trained us until we reached adulthood, and that's Mom. Amen. And I'm not just saying that because it's Mother's Day. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my soul. I, a very fortunate individual, I was raised by a great mom. And then I had the privilege of watching my wife raise 3 children. And she is without doubt the world's greatest mom. And it just seems incredible to me that I've had the opportunity and privilege to watch my daughter raise her children. And I am constantly amazed at the effort and labor she puts into it and the wisdom she displays while doing it. And I'm sure there's many others in this room that could say that about their mother or about their wife. But I have been incredibly fortunate in that the 3 women who have occupied most of my life were all 3 unbelievable mothers. That's just the goodness and grace of God. Now, so I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, A Good Mother. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. You will never listen to a preacher preach who believes what he's saying more than I do this morning. There are a couple of things I hold near and dear, and I could promote them with all of my heart and all of my energy. I could sell marriage door to door, and I appreciate motherhood. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now, that's the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. And he's saying, I can see the faith in you. I mean, it's real, it's there, it's unfeigned. That is, it's not held back, it's not covered up. And then he says this, boy, what a compliment this is. "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, ladies, you ought to be able to rewrite that verse and read it like this. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Brenda, and in thy mother Samantha, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And just be able to substitute your mama and your grandmama. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful thing? Now, I understand everybody can't do that, but boy, what a great blessing that would be. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a good mother, because I'm convinced these 2 ladies were in fact good mothers. And we'll try and point out why that is as we go along. But their son would not have been where he was. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could not have said what he said had they not been good and godly mothers. Now, let me say this at the onset. There are many women that by worldly standards would be considered good mothers. I'm not going to count those, because those people are interested in having good children, not godly children. When I talk about a good mother, I'm talking about a mother that not only wants good kids, they want godly kids. And there's all the difference in the world between being good and being godly. Now, let me start with this. I'll just keep it brief this morning because I know everybody wants to go have a big Mother's Day lunch, and I'm in that crowd. Amen. I love to eat. Now, in the verse we read, we have a grandmother who is a Christian. This lady is saved. Her name's Lois, and she's got children of her own. And this woman gets saved by the grace of God. And in the process of being a mother and living her life, she leads her daughter Eunice to God. Here's a mother that's saved, and her daughter is saved. Isn't that a blessing? And then the third generation comes along. He said, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was first in thy grandmother and thy mother. The boy now has what grandma had. This son now has what mother had. The greatest thing anybody ever did was give their faith, pass their faith in Jesus Christ on to their children. It's better than a college education at Harvard or MIT or Caltech or any of the rest of those bastions of perversion and dishonesty and corruption. The greatest thing you ever did as a mother wasn't getting your little girl to be a cheerleader, getting your little boy on the football squad. The best thing you can ever do for your children is get them to God.
Amen.
Amen. And nobody can do that better. Nobody has more access. Nobody has more opportunity. Nobody has more clout than mother. Now, there's some other things about a good mother, and I want to talk about those just briefly. Now, first thing is this. A good mother is one that can balance her duties. In the day and age in which you live, people tend to get off on tangents, or we obsess on one thing, or we overdo one aspect or one part or one point to the exclusion of others, and then things go lacking because there's not a proper balance. A woman needs to be able to balance her duties and her responsibilities, one, between God, two, between husband, three, between children, four, between others, and five, with herself. A woman got to chop her time and her duties and her responsibilities up every which way. A wise man, Dr. Peter Sturgis Rugman, once said, duties never conflict. If you get it right, there is time for all. But boy, what a task that is to pull off that juggling act day after day and month after month and year after year. Amen. I've known women who were so wrapped up in their husband that they neglected their children. I mean, they didn't pretend they weren't there. They just didn't give them the time and the attention that the children need. And children are demanding. But they got so involved in their husband and in that first relationship, and that is a great relationship, and it certainly should not be slighted or ignored.
Amen.
But when you decide to have children, Dad, you're not always going to be number one on the list anymore. Amen?
Amen?
Mama has now got to divide her time and her attention and her affection with all those youngins you now got. And, of course, she has duties to God and to neighbors and friends. She's got to fit into the community. She has a social life. And then, you're not going to believe this, but some women honestly have a personal life. It is limited. If anything ever gets neglected, that's probably what it is. Women say, oh, I never have any time for myself. I can't even take a bath anymore without somebody knocking on the door.
Amen.
Welcome to motherhood. What a wonderful, wonderful place it is. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, the woman that can successfully juggle her duties and responsibilities, make her husband feel like a king, make her children feel like that she's involved in their life and dedicated and committed to them, still have time for Almighty God and do good works in the community and then eke out a little private time for herself, you're a genius. You're a Houdini. You're incredible. You're marvelous. You're miraculous. My hat is off to you.
Amen.
Amen. And yet some women can pull that off. And they have very happy and very contented husbands. And they have well-trained and loving children. And they have managed to have that relationship with God and husband and family. I bow my head to you in respect. That's an awesome feat. I don't think men could pull that off. I know why God made women mothers. Because God knew how sorry us men would be at it. Amen? And we don't have the grace to do all that and to give. The role of a mother is the role of a giver. And that's the honest truth. You think about it for just a little while and you will have to appreciate what all a mother is willing to give and to give up in order to be what she's supposed to be. Not only is a good mother one that can balance her duties, a good mother is an example to follow. My goodness, now don't follow Susan Smith. Don't follow these wackos that will abandon their children to run off with some sleazebag man.
Amen.
Amen. Don't follow them. Find you one that loves those children. Find you one that loves her husband. Find one that lives what she professes. One that sets an example. Find you a mother like that and learn from her. Amen? A good mother is one that's an example that you can follow. She is always a Christian. She is forever a lady. She is honest in all things. She is chaste in her conversation. And she is never a busybody. I was doing pretty good there until I got to that last point, I suppose. A good mother. I'm here to tell you, buddy, that's an awesome feat to pull off. But if you find one that you can look at and follow and say, there is a Christian lady. That's not just a woman. That's not just a skirt. That's not just somebody missing a chromosome. Here is a Christian. Not just a professor, not one who says, oh, I trusted Christ and I'm saved. I'm talking about one that lives for God and talks about God and exemplifies Christ in her life, who is not ashamed of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and whose greatest desire is for her children to have the same faith and same trust in Him and to live their lives for Him like she does. And she sets that example. She doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She is a Christian at all times. Not only does she live a Christian life, she is a lady. She's going to dress like a lady. You're not going to see her run around here dressed like some harlot. Skimpily clad. Clothes too thin. Not enough underwear. Too much flesh hanging out. Amen? She's going to look like a lady. And act like a lady. And talk like a lady. And dress like a lady. I'll tell you, ladies, womanhood, motherhood, and all has been demeaned in these last few years. And a large part of it, I'm sorry to say, a large part of it y'all did to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't want to run around in a bunch of old dungarees and combat boots and flannel shirts and don't want to comb your hair and fix your face and put on your lipstick. You want to look like one of the boys and work on the cars and cut the grass and all that stuff. Listen, let's get back to being feminine. Let's get back to being ladylike. Let's get back to being genteel. Look like a lady. Dress like a lady. Smell like a lady. The garbage that he's carrying out, don't do it. You got a teenage boy, let him do it. You got a husband, let him do it. Amen.
Amen.
Get you some soft clothes. Some feminine clothes. Buy yourself some nice perfume. I recommend Obsession. White diamonds. Amen. Beautiful. Red Door. All those are great. St. Lauder, Youth New. Get you some of that stuff. Get you some of them soft clothes and be pretty. Fix your hair. Fix your face. Amen. I mean, look like a lady, then talk like one. We don't need you running around cussing and being vulgar and cheap and trashy. Any old slut off the street can do that. Set an example. Lift the bar up high. Amen. Give you some, your children, something to look up to, something to excel for, some place to climb to. You don't need to keep them down here, either in the gutter or on the mean where everybody else is at. Let's lift them up. Let's set them up on high. Let's be a lady. Let's be a Christian woman. Let's be a lady in our appearance, in our conversation, in our character, in our deeds. Not only is she always a Christian and forever lady, she's honest in all things. Children watch and they learn. And sometimes they watch too close and learn the wrong thing. Amen? Boy, you got to be careful what you say around kids. Say, why is that? Because they'll say what you said, but they won't say it where you said it. Amen? They'll say it at church on Sunday morning. They'll tell the preacher what you said. And you'll be down there going, shh, shh, shh. He got that all tangled up. He didn't. Amen. Listen, they watch and they learn. And if you're not honest, if you don't have some character, if you don't have some integrity, they'll learn that from you. Thank God if you've got a mama that's honest and sets a good example, one that can be recommended, one that can be followed without shame and without regret. Thirdly, a good mother is a teacher of good things. Now, this is a personal observation. But if mothers have failed in any department that is discernible in general society, it is to be teachers. We live in a day and age where we are just bringing kids up. We are not raising kids. To raise them implies to teach and to train. Now, listen, you get you a bunch of beagles and put them out there in a pen and throw bread to them and a little water every day, they'll grow up. But if you take them rabbit hunting, they won't chase a rabbit. They won't point a bird. They won't tree a squirrel. They'll be yapping and running every which way and making noise and nothing's going to get done because they haven't been trained. They've just been brought up. Now, on the other hand, you get you a little old beagle and you get out there every afternoon with it and take you a rabbit skin and wrap it around a stick and put it on the end of a rope and let him smell it and throw it and make him go fetch it and that kind of stuff. And when he gets to the rabbit or whatever it is, you make him stop and point. You can teach him and train him. Then when hunting season comes, you take that little old beagle out and get him out there in the field and that little sucker will be worth his weight in gold. Amen. He'll run around there sniffing the ground, pick up on that trail and bark once or twice, and there he goes. And he gets down there where that thing's at and he gets it cornered and he just stops. And then you walk down there with that 12 gauge and take care of business. Amen? Now one dog just got brought up, the other one got trained. Amen? And one is a blessing and one is a curse. Amen? Now, a good mother is a teacher. She is a teacher of good things, like civility, manners, politeness. Goodness gracious, I'm telling you, if you go in the grocery store or the restaurant or Walmart, here comes these little old hellions about 8, 9 years old. The other day, my wife and I were someplace, and we're holding hands like we normally do because I'm in love. And we're still honeymooning. Now, we've been married about 43 years, but boy, I keep the sparks a-flying. I know there's snow on the roof, but buddy, there's a fire in the stove. Don't you ever forget that. And we're holding hands going down through there, and here comes these two little old young'uns, and one of them went right between us. The other one dodged around and hit me on it, and they are running 79 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone there in Walmart. Amen? And you never hear one of them say, excuse me, or please, or can I get by, thank you, or nothing. They just barge through. They run. They care. But you know what? They ain't been trained. They ain't been taught. They don't have any manners. They're not civil. Yeah, no, huh? Where's the good old healthy? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Excuse me. Please. Thank you. Amen. Listen, Mama. Daddy doesn't have time to teach all that. That's Mama's job. Get off your lazy backside and be a teacher of good things and teach those children how to be a good part of society. So the people say, well, I'll tell you what, that's the best behaved children I've ever seen. Now understand that when you smack them upside the head for being rude or obnoxious, amen, when you paddle their little backside, all those folks that were praising you for having the best behaved children in the world are going to criticize you for being too harsh and too stern and too much discipline.
Amen.
Ignore that crowd. Teach them kids to be polite and courteous and civil. Amen? You be a teacher of good things. A good mother is a teacher of good things. She teaches moral values. Amen? She teaches honesty and integrity. She teaches work habits and ethics. Where do you think a kid gets those things from? Listen, let me tell you how it goes in the average house, when kids, especially when kids are little. Daddy goes out and he works 8, 10, 12 hours a day and does all he can. He's trying to get his family ahead and wants to have a nice house, you know, and pay for the car and tuck a little money away for the vacation in July and all that kind of stuff. And so Mama's there all day long, ought to be there all day long. I don't like working moms. You ladies want to work, wait till your kids are grown. Hello? You stay there and raise them youngins. They need you more than you need that money. I'm telling you right now, your children need your time and your attention more than they need that money.
Amen.
Anyway, where was I at?
Daddy goes off to work.
He does, if he's worth of salt, he goes off to work. And he's gone for 8 or 10 hours or 12 hours, whatever it is. And the youngins are there with Mama. And in the evening, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever it is, Daddy comes home, tired and weary, been in the salt mine, a slaving all the day long. But he doesn't begrudge it. He's doing it for his little family. Amen. But when he gets home, all he wants the wife to say, dinner will be ready in 15 minutes. Get washed up. And he washes his little hands and walks over and sits down in the easy chair and kicks back. And he turns on the evening news or picks up the newspaper. And he just wants, he don't want to be bothered. And eat him a big old dinner and get his little belly full. And he rests a little bit. And then the kids come in. And you know what he does? He plays with them and he wrestles with them and he tickles them. And they get down on the floor and they roll all over the place. And they have a good old time. And the youngins think, Daddy is the most wonderful fella in the world. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, he's tired and he's winded. And he said, okay now. Scoop, that's enough. Let's go. And Mama, who just got through in the dinner dishes, takes them off and gets them in the bathroom and gets their little bodies washed and gets their little teeth brushed and gets them in their little jams and goes and tucks them in and says their prayers with them. And all. And Daddy's in there watching TV half asleep. Amen. And you know what Daddy taught them? You know how much instruction they got out of Daddy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? None. You know what they got? Everything they learned that whole week, they got from their mama. Amen?
Amen.
Daddy say, well, I'm the head of this house, this cud, and I want my children to know right from wrong, and I want them to know how to work, and boy, we're going to teach ethics and principles, and I'm going to require this and that and the other. Yeah. You're going to do it secondhand, no sport. You ain't going to be there. Mama's going to do it.
Amen.
You say, now, did you teach my kids what I told you? Oh, yes, sir. You know, she could be lying to you. Amen. 90% of what you are because of your mother.
Amen.
I'm not saying Dad didn't have an influence. And when Father's Day gets here, boy, I'll build us up. Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of us, guys. But it's time to honor the mother that gave us birth and looked out for us. And who still loves us and prays for us night and day. Amen. Teach moral values. Some things are right and some things are wrong. And we do this and bless God, we don't do that. And there ain't no middle ground. Now my wife has got some faults. Not many. She is close to perfect as anybody I ever found. But I'll tell you one, she's got this one characteristic. And sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes I wished I could change it when I wanted to fudge a little. But my wife is black or white. This woman has no neutral and she has no gray. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either good or it's bad. And blessed be God, there ain't no in between on nothing. Now, I'm willing to fold a little every now and then, you know, if it's to my advantage. But I'll tell you what, she ain't giving an inch. Fourthly, I'm hurrying. Now, listen to this point carefully, will you please? I want you to get this part. Everybody listening? Get your pencil, write this down. A good mother is demanding and requiring. You got that? That's missing in our day and age. I hear women all the time say, well, their kids in trouble, they've done something stupid, or, you know, this, that, and say, well, I told them. Oh, shut up, lady. You make me so sick, I could honestly just throw up. I told them. I watched a lady the other day. She got this little kid. We were at the Italian restaurant down there getting some dinner. I think it was Wednesday night for church. And getting ready to come down here and listen to Brother Lewis rant and rave. And we're sitting there, and there's a little lady across the thing there. Got this youngin'. And a little boy was playing. He was eating with his mouth open. He hadn't been taught no manners. He was chomping like that and taking big old bites. Well, he couldn't get his teeth together, you know. And he's talking while he's eating and chomping and stuff drooling down his chin. And the little reprobate won't sit in the chair. And I just want to reach over and just grab him up. And I could have given him a 3-minute guaranteed to fix your attitude lesson right there on the spot. But I want to get him in this hand and in mama in that hand because it's her fault. And the only thing that kept me from it is I didn't know how I could hold him and her and hit them both. That little guy, his mother finally, after about 10 minutes, she said, now stop that. And she went right on reading and eating and all that. And that kid never slowed down. He never acknowledged she spoke. He just kept... And 15 minutes later, she said, now, didn't I tell you to quit? She should have required
Amen.
That he quit.
Amen.
She should have demanded that he quit. Amen.
Amen.
She should have put her foot in his backside.
Amen.
Up to her knee. And it didn't the hokey pokey. Amen. That little fella go out in public and embarrass his mama and be a nuisance to everybody else in the building. Why in the world do I have to sit there and put up with your bad children? I didn't mean illegitimate. Not necessarily illegitimate. I meant to say ignorant and ill-trained little reprobates. Because they are. Why do I got to sit there and put up with that? Why do I have to endure their lack of manners? A good mama would demand and require. She would require that they behave. She would require that they do their work. She would require, see? She'd have some things in their life that they are going to have to do. And then she would demand that they do them. I have said for years, I believe with all my heart, I have seen it happen over and over, children only do what they are made to do. Amen. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Amen. You know why God gave you, why God gave them young ones a mama? So you could teach them and mold them and shape them and train them and turn them into something. Because they started out as nothing. Their heads are empty. You understand that? They're not pre-wired. They're not pre-recorded. It's empty. Everything they get, they're going to get from somebody else. And they're going to get most of it from mama. Now, on that, number 5, a good mother is a disciplinarian. Well, I better pass it on here. Number 6, ain't nobody going to discipline youngins anymore. We went to dinner last night up at Catfish Cove and had some of those great, great jumbo fried shrimp they have up there. Boy, they were awesome. And the table right beside us had a couple of little heathen young'uns just screaming and crying, hollering. I don't know what it is, but every time I go to a restaurant, every time, if there's one little brat in the place, you got to sit right beside of me. We were at a restaurant in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago, and we walked by this table, and there's an empty table right here. And here's a table, and it's a black family, and they got a little boy and a little girl. And they're sitting there behaving themselves and eating their dinner, and they wasn't hollering, they wasn't screaming, they wasn't jumping up running all over the restaurant. You know what that waiter did? Walked us all the way to the other side of the building and put us in a table right beside a family with three kids that you couldn't have held them down with super glue. And I said, "Why me, Lord? What have I done? Am I not a righteous man? Do I not serve thee with all my..." How come I got to sit beside them little monsters? We was at one of them restaurants up here a couple years ago, and the kid was getting up on the flower box and jumping off. And then the next thing I know, there's something under the table. And this kid has crawled from their table under the next table into our table. Now, he didn't crawl up through our table, because when he got to our table, I pushed him out with his foot. Amen. Somebody needs to train those children. Somebody needs to discipline. Listen, have some requirements. Make some demands. And then, blessed be God. So, but man, I hate it when they come to our house. Say, why? Because their little hellions can't keep their hands off of nothing. So, well, you know, so-and-so is coming over for dinner tonight, and we're going to play Monopoly after dinner. Take all the whatnots and put them up where nobody can get to them. I ain't putting nothing up. Amen. I would say, hey, tell your young'un to leave my chacky junk alone. I had a lot of flea markets sitting there on that counter, buddy. Amen? I had a lot of Made in Korea on that shelf. Somebody can't be replaced. Smack his hand. I ain't moving my stuff. We ought to demand. We ought to require. And then we ought to discipline so that they obey. It's a teaching process. Not only that, a good mother conveys her love. Now, I had a line that I left out of this. I didn't put it in here. But I had a note that a mom is a demon straight out of hell or an angel straight from heaven. That's the way kids see them. Amen? When you're on their case, you know, you heard that little boy said, "My mama's just like a diaper." So how's that? Always on my butt. That's the way kids see it. You know, a little kid said, a dog says, "Roof, roof." And the cat says, "Meow, meow." And the chicken goes, "Cluck, cluck." So what does mama say? "No, no, no, no." She's always for all she ever does. Some kids get the idea, you know. Mama is the teacher and the trainer. She's always the bad guy. She's always the bad guy. Dad always comes off looking good. Amen. And the little old young'uns think Dad is the great hero and Mama is the witch of Endor. Amen. Because she's always fussing. Yet, when trouble comes, or they get hurt, or they have a need, or they feel threatened, you know what comes out of the lips of every one of them? "Mama! Mama! Where's Mama?" Amen. Little old Seth, now he's 9 going on 19, and he does pretty good as long as he's with Nana and Pa, you know. He loves us and he knows us, he trusts us and that kind of stuff. But if his mama's gone too long, no problems, no threat, nothing's wrong, everything's fine. If she's gone just too long, he'll say, "Pa, when's Mama coming home? Nana, where's Mama? Amen. Now you say, why is that? Isn't she hard on? Oh my goodness, yes. She is on them from sunup to sundown. Only peace she has is when they are sound asleep drugged. If they quit making paregoric, all the mothers in the world commit suicide. Then look, she stays on them. She's always fussing. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. Get back in there and do that over. No, that ain't right. No, you're not going to start there. Start from the beginning. Over and over and over and over and over. All the women said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're a good mama and you're in the training mode, I'm here to tell you, son, you've got to stay on them to get them to do anything.
Amen.
You can't just say, now go clean up your room and expect it to be clean. It don't work that way. You say, now go clean up your room. I'll be back there in 5 minutes. And then you got to go back there and say, didn't I tell you to go? Well, I did. Well, how'd he get messed up again then? Amen. Yet when trouble comes, times come, first thing they want is mama. You know why that is? Because with all of her teaching and all of her training and all of her hollering and all of her screaming, she conveys to them she loves them. And somehow, in that process, those quick little minds pick up, this is the one that cares for me. This is the one that does for me. This is the one that does without for me. They know this is the go-to person in situations. And that's where they go. You let them get hurt. You let them get hungry. You let them get their feelings hurt. You let them feel threatened. It's mama, 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 mama. Because they have sensed, they know, they understand that that lady that hollers and screams loves them with all her heart. A good mother manages in all of that activity to convey to them little guys, I love you. One of the greatest bonds between human beings is between a mother and her children. Now I understand the bond between dad and the children. I'm a dad. And I love my young'uns. But then you got to admit, if you've studied human nature much, there's a uniqueness to that bond between a mama and her children. Somehow it's like dad is a little more self-sufficient. Dad's a little more capable. Dad's a little less feeling. There's something unique about that love for mother. I had it. I'll be honest with you. If something had come between my mom and dad, and my dad was a good dad, I'd have chose mom. I would have. Say, why? It's just something about that little 5'2" woman. There's something about the way she could hug your neck. Something about the way she could fix some beans and taters. There's just something unique about it. Amen? I love motherhood. I like watching it. I like seeing it. A good mother conveys her love. And then I'll finish with this. A good mother brings her children to Christ. Now, boy, you live in a day and age where we are bombarded with thoughts and ideas and opportunities to get our children prepared for all kind of things. We want them in T-ball. We want them in a little league. Every mama seems like they want their little girl on the cheerleading squad. Now, why a Christian woman would want her little girl to go out there in them short skirts and show her little butt is a mystery to me that I do not understand. There is nothing godly about a little girl being on a cheerleading team. Amen. You can put that in your pipe and smoke it or do whatever you want. I don't really give a rip. It ain't godly, it ain't Christ-like, it ain't right. But be that as it may, we have opportunities and there's pressure put on. Put them in dance school. Get them on the ball team. Get them on the football team. Get them in the soccer team. Get them involved in this. You know, get them. We got a million things we want them to do. They say, oh, we got to prepare them for life, you know. We need to get them an education, and they need to be computer literate and all this, you know. We got to prepare them for the 29th century or wherever we're at in the times. All that stuff so they can have a good life and make money and live in a big house and drive a nice car and have nice clothes and all that energy and all that effort. Have we spent 18 to 24 years preparing them and getting them ready and didn't do one thing, did not do one thing to keep those children out of hell? Let them go to secular schools and imbibe the secular philosophy, and they come out of there with no faith in God and no faith in the Bible, ridiculing religion, and they work themselves to death and they get rich or wealthy and they are comfortable and they live good and fulfilling and pleasant lives in this world and die. Go straight to hell. That is not a good mother. A good mother. A good mother. Your number one priority is, will my children love God? Will they trust Jesus Christ? Will they be saved and live for the Savior? Will I see them on the other side? Not can I drive down to Florida and see their summer home, but when I pass out of this world, will I see them on the streets of glory? That's what's important. And if you're a good mother, you will spare no effort. You will spare no labor, and you will not spare any time making sure that your children are taught the right example, see the right example, that will lead them to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. A good mother prays for her children, prays with her children, reads to her children, takes her children to church, lives for Jesus Christ, maintains her testimony, and is faithful to God so that she can have an impact on her children for God. Because her number one priority is not to prepare them for this life, but for the life to come. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think you ought to prepare for this life. I do. I think you ought to be wise about it. I think you ought to be wise about it. I think you ought to be really wise about it. But if I had to choose one or the other, I wouldn't choose 50 or 60 years in this world. I'd choose forever with God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Let's bow. Your Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the precious.